We are continuing Shal Chesmen Nefesh in Dalet, in Daf Shien Tzadik Dalet. Shien Tzadik Dalet. Down on the page, two turns down. After the Pasuk that you mentioned in Zorim Shomeres HaShuva Shunishvara V'Sechem, Barbek is there. Ba'oni when us, Kasha lo Sistach Nafsheni Olaf, if we shall not rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Sismoich Al Chazdoi, and we shall not rely on the Chesed of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Sanua Le'ahavosai, and if we shall not motion, we shall not move to his love. In other words, if we would not be affected with the Avtocha which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, that he will never will forsake us, and he will always remember our fathers and grandfathers Chasodim, and the greatest Torah, and the biggest Torah, as it's Abraham Zoyz, Be'oysam, Be'eretz, Avvem, Lo, Me'astim, Lo, Ge'altim, Lo, Chaloysam. All the psukim which you mentioned above, because Baruch Hu promised us that he will never forsake us, he always going to remember us, our chesed for us and for our parents and grandparents. If we shall not rely on this promise, if we shall not rely on this chesed, and we shall not be affected that we should move, it's a new Allah Avosa, we're going to motion, we're going to move our lives to the love of Hashem. Lidovik Bavadosa to the Kametet Shri, avoid the Lifner Kim for the Kosh Baruch Hu, the Lifner Kim Nishpach Sucheinu. If Farah for Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're going to pour our heart, our talk. Kama, if we shall not do this, Kama Tiveinu Ove, how much is our nature thick? Varpeinu Kosher, and our neck is hard, stiff. Vamunoseinu Mu'uto, how little do we believe? How hard are we that we should go after the Emes? We're never going to remember the love from our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors. We're never going to remember that. It's not going to affect us. We're going to see. And not to the love of Kodesh Baruch Hu and to the individual careness of Kodesh Baruch Hu watches on us, we will yearn. And we will not do anything just because he promised us and he made us close to him. Not because of the great toive which he did with us. The great chesed that we will listen. We're not going to be embarrassed because he created us later. You know, this word has to be framed and put on a wall. We see so many elements where we should be always alert and always attached and always relying and always in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First of all, our great history of our ancestors, such a great people, and we are the schus that we are the extension of them, and the promise that you promised them, and the promise that you promised to us, and the great Hashgokha which he does with us, the great Torah which he does with us, all the pertaining things, and all those things does not affect us. We go on with our stupidity, we go on with our heart, because how much are we thick? How much are we stiff? How much are we unappreciative? How little is our emunah? How little do we really believe? Yeah, we talk, we discuss such a distance. But if it doesn't affect us, who are we? Hoket ochi min hasheinu atoiz. Wake up, my brother, from this deep sleep. From the coma. Wake up. V'goyl ma'alibecho, and reveal, take off from your heart, es mosach yitzrecho, the curtain from your yetzer, asher nosach alav, which he blanketed your heart. The yetzer came and put a blanket over your heart. You have a big fire in your heart. Everything which he spoke above, the aptocha, the psukim, the self-acknowledgement, all of these things, is the truth of the matter is in your heart. You all know it. Why does it not affect us? Because the yetzer comes and put a thick blanket over your heart, and it contains it inside and doesn't let it out. Says, wake up and take off this blanket which the Yetzer covered your heart. You know, this is one of the beautiful verses the Balatani explains in the Pasuk. It's not distance, all this accomplishment. Things is very close to you. It's in your own heart. Usually we think that to get madreges and to get asogas, to get understanding and to get tinkering, we have to bring something from the outside into me because I don't have it. There's no such a thing as Yid doesn't have it. Every Yid has it in his own heart. However, it's like a charcoal, like a coal, a burning coal, which is covered up with layers of ashes, and the fire cannot come up. So when you have to bring in fire, you don't have to bring in fire from the outside. You have burning fire in your inside. Just all you have to uncover it. So that's what Rebbe Zuchel Shulman says. A problem to wake up a Jew is not to bring in the truth into him. He has the truth. He has all the knowledge. That's the reason you see how he works with about Shulman. You don't have to convince him. Every Jew is deeply convinced, but he doesn't recognize his convinced. He's covered up. All you have to do is just undress his cover, just take off one layer, other layer, other layer, other layer. This is one of the things, is, you know, Shimshon Tainus is a good point. Shimshon Pinkus and Tainus, the seminar is very effective for Frum people, for non-Frum people, for everyone. It's very effective. He says, he thinks that it's not necessarily because what is being told over there. He will take any group of people, lock them up for 5 days, and don't say anything, or don't let them do anything wrong, or just positive thinking, with nothing any special. Just get them away from the Olam Hazeh for 5 days. They shouldn't be affected, you know, by anything. Automatically, they're going to become good. And Yid is good. Yid is inside everything. It's going to come out. It's just like, you know, every place in the ground, wherever you dig, you're going to find minerals. You're going to find water. You're going to find this fire in the ground. Everything is there. All you have to do is just open it up and take it out. You don't have to mean. That's exactly what it says. Everything, wake up and take away the blanket from your heart. You're going to say everything is going to blow up. And all this recognition, everything which it's logic and it's sense and it's beautiful and it's heritage and it's tradition and it's haftocha and Hashem speaks to you, it's all in you. And blanket is actually, see, beautiful heart puts on. He put a blanket between your heart and between your light of your sacred intellect. Don't forget that, you know, that here is the brain and here is the heart, okay? And that's the throat, and the connection line is, that's Mitzrayim, Meitzriyam, here is the oiref, here is the neck, here is the stiff, the neck. All it does, it puts a blanket in between, it doesn't let connect between the heart and the brain. So just take away this mechitza, just take it away, and let your emunah, your heart, with your intellect, objective thinking, connect. Let, you know, put on the steering wheel over this engine, over this thing, just put them on, and control it, make a connection, you're beautiful. And there isn't a Jew who isn't beautiful. Isn't a Jew who hasn't got a good engine, which is a good heart, a Jewish heart, okay? And isn't a Jew who hasn't got a good independent brain? The only problem is it's disconnected. It's not, you know, they're not connected together. Just connect them. So after he separated Ben Chob and Or Sichlocho, and what? How did he separate them? Kakobish Ashiyarek Almora, just like a spider. Kakobish like a spider. Now a spider, you know, a spider usually covers up a certain opening. In the beginning, you don't notice there is a cover. He makes such a thin spit, which he weaves his cover. It's not even visible. A very tiny, tiny fly will be caught in it. And then he goes to put another layer, until the layer becomes so thick, then you see all of a sudden it covers up that you don't even see there's an opening. He really covered him up. But it, how does it start with the most tiniest spit of the spiral?
Spider.
Spider, yeah. The tiny bit of a spider, which it breaks through. So this Yetzer Hara works like a spider. And says, you could be a wonderful, wonderful Jew, but the minute you stop working on not keeping the opening, the flow between the brain and the heart, the spider is always there, immediately starts putting layers of separation. And if you don't uncover it continuously, it's going to form a layer over layer until it's going to become so thick there's going to be no connection. Then you're going to be a split personality. Yes, you could know a lot of good things, but you don't feel it here. You feel it here. You can't verbalize. You can't bring it out because you're disconnected. So the Yetzer Hara is ongoing like a spider. I always say, like, you know, there's a saying. I don't know to what extent has it a root, but I hate spiders. It's a mitzvah to kill a spider. Spiders are very, I don't know if it's true, it's a mitzvah to kill a spider. Yes, but when you see a spider in the kitchen, what do you do? It's fantastic. I kill him. because you know, I have a certain natural affinity to a spider. Why? Because Elmer says it's like the Yetzer Hara. He puts his traps up, invisible traps, all of them being caught.
Right.
You see now when the poor flies, the way he catches him, like, he makes invisible things trapped up. Such a chzorius.
The web.
It webs the things. And I hate this, you see, because I'm the victim of the spider. This is the Yetzer Hara. It symbolizes Mammoth the Yetzer Hara. It's a sassy, right?
It's a poop.
It's a different thing. It's
catching me.
Yeah. It really makes sense that if you don't see the thread, but when you have the substance, the little thread, you know, like during the day, when you go to the mikveh, the mikveh dissolves the.
Well, if you know why you're going, if you just go for custom, just go to dip yourself. If you know that you go to the mikveh because you want to be metallic, you want to cleanse yourself, because you know that there is always the spider web formulated every time you. Every time there is a Hesach, you know what Hesach Hadash means? It's beautiful. We should never be Messiah Das. We should never be Messiah Das from our job. What is Messiah Das? How would you say in English Messiah Das? You shouldn't
interrupt the train of thought.
Absent-mindedness, I would say. Any time when there is an absent-mindedness, that would be the proper word. What is an absent-mindedness? There is a mind. The mind continuously works. So you're never absent-minded. But it is absent-minded. Because this mind, which works, if it's not connected to your heart, and it's interacting with your heart, with emunah, it's called absent-minded. Your mind is absent from you. The mind works absently. The mind has to work on you. Just again, I always say, the mind is the steering wheel. The heart is the engine. The man is the engine. The power of a man is an engine. Powerful people, it's the engine. The engine works. It's a car which drives. A man is going forward, head on. He's going 80 miles per hour. That's what a man is going. And then God gave you a steering wheel. And God gave you the steering wheel, and he gave you the engine. You can't stop the engine, and there's no excuse the steering wheel does not work. The only thing, you have to connect the steering wheel to the engine. If you keep contact with your mind and connected to the engine, you say you could steer your engine in a positive way. So your engine, your power goes in a positive way. If you are absent-minded, it's just like fall asleep by the steering wheel. The steering wheel works, but it doesn't steer. It steers in the opposite. You have a crash landing and you have accident, and you're getting fatally wounded. Absent-minded means literally when you drive, you're getting absent-minded. You're getting into trouble. It's not shaykh to drive absent-mindedly and not getting into trouble. Now, what is happening when you're absent-minded? The minute there's absentee of this connection, there is the natural spider which is there. The minute you start formulating a web of a mechitza, and all of a sudden, even you want to disconnect, it doesn't go anymore. You're getting wrong connection. You're getting wrong messages. So you want to go right, it goes left. Like you're getting totally confused.
When the person sleeps, he doesn't have control over his dreams.
So that's the reason. That's the reason.
So if you go to mikvah,
right,
someone told me that when they do it since then. When you go down left to a Beruli Elohim, and it was in the Beruach Noch and Chares Bekirbi, which means that the proper spirit.
If you have the Tzotzfer, it is very good. But I give you news: if you have the good Tzotzfer, sometimes you can have without the mikvah too. It's not necessary that only the mikvah does it. In a mikvah without the thinking, doesn't do anything. And of course, but if you want to do a real good job, you want to do a real good job, and then the special occasions, and then you go to mikvah special, fine. If you want to have a special job, or whatever, fine. But this could be done without a mikvah, and it could be not done even with a mikvah. Take it up, you know. If you go to mikvah, if you don't really think the right things, it's worthless in this respect. And one who has the right thinking does not formulate. You could remove this web even without a mikveh too. The mikveh has other benefits, not necessarily for that. So this is one of the things that we take for every little thing. We need the highest medicine. You know, you don't take for every little thing. This little thing which we talk has to be done 1,000 times a day. Every absent minus immediately has to be done 1,000 times to the mikveh. You think, no, this has to be done 1,000 times a day.
Don't get sick, you only medicine also.
What?
If you don't get sick, you only medicine.
You don't need medicine. A mikveh is not necessary for the medicine. A mikveh is the future growth, places tahara, places daf. If you want to learn, you feel better about even though after you do the job continuously of Netor Harish Bekirbi, that you're removing the web of the spider, you're doing it without him, you're doing it continuously, just no Hesach Hadaf. The most important, not to let the Hesach Hadas. Every time it is a Hesach Hadas, absent minus, the longer the Hesach Hadas goes on, the thicker the spider formulates his webbing is mechitza. So this is, you have to be an ongoing, continuous cleanliness. Everything in mind, this is Shanegi, some of it means the spider has nothing what to do, you're always connected, you're always together with yourself. Top of this, now that you're always together with yourself, you want to grow, you want to make a deeper connection, a real deeper, you want to get to the deeper of the heart. And then in the Rambam says, and we're going to tell you what the mikveh is, the Rambam says, the waters of the mikveh is called Meidas, the water of wisdom. The water of wisdom. Why is it the water of wisdom? Because we know it in the Bria, Kodesh Baruch Hu creates the Bria, Shubo Kemes Shema Mesor. Shema means heaven, truchnias, spiritual things. Or it means earthiness, physicalness. Okay? Now we are earthy. Now our job is to connect Shema and Boris. We are Sulam. We are the letter of the Rosh. Our body is in the depth of the materialism. We are low physical and evil inclination. We are in the bottom. Yaakov, Yodah, Chesed, Be'ekev, Esav, we hold to the heel of Esav. But Rosh HaMegeh Shemayim, what our neshama in our connection is, we could reach heaven. And our job is to make this connection. However, we disconnected ourselves and we dipped ourselves into Oretz. We went into the depth of Gashmias, of materialism. And I want to make a reconnection, but I can't make the reconnection. So the Kuzboch created the third inyan, which is the intermediate, which is heaven down in the earth. How do you jump into heaven? How do you connect to heaven if you're not in heaven? That's water. The spirit of Kodesh Baruch Hu hovers over the water. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the water, which the water has to split in two halves. The upper water is in the below water. And the mikveh is connected to the upper water. It's the water below here. We take mine, water, we contain them here in the thing, and we make a connection to rainwater or to well water. And unpolluted, and people have never disconnected them. So it comes out, water is actually the bridge between Shemayim and Oretz. Now all of a sudden I feel myself that I'm disconnected from Shemayim. Either I became Tomer, either I want to grow and I can't make the breakthrough to reconnect into deeper Shemayim as I would want. So what is the Eitzah? So you go into the water which is a Meidas, it's the water of wisdom as the Rambam says. And you mevatel yourself, you totally under success, you know Chatzitza, and you totally give yourself over. You gave yourself over back to from where you originate from Shemayim, and you've been mevatel yourself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you're dipping yourself over the water. And Ruach HaLakim Erechef is up Neamon, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is hovering over the water, so you become Oil Mach HaShemayim, that you take on the yoke of heaven through that. That water cleanses you, so when you're getting up, you become like a new person, and this webs and all these things which didn't let you make the breakthrough to further growth is being washed away in a Tahara, in purity, that now you could make the further growth. That's the... So, water is... Therefore, every time when we want to grow in Seichel, water, mikveh is a very beneficiary thing. It's not necessarily for negative thing. Like, about if a Toma we need it too. And if a woman becomes Toma, she has to go to water, she pures in the Shoma that she could not go continue to grow. A man, Chas V'Shalom, he has whatever it is, he needs a Balkeri, he has to go to mikveh to get this. But even after that, if a person is on a mission of growth, a mikveh is a very beneficial thing because you can't grow without mikveh. Mikveh is the Meidav. And he would say every morning, Ato Chayinu Odom Da'af, Hashem, give me Seichel, Chaneinu Bitu Chochmu Binu, give me Seichel, give me Da'af. So how do you prepare your utensils to be able to receive this Da'af, this wisdom? At least, if you really want wisdom, you really want to grow with your wisdom, at least you take this body and you dip it into the world to be able to be mekabel the new wisdom. And the higher you want to be, the more you need a mikveh, because that's the halacha. Now, the mikveh has also very, very beautiful other elements in itself, halacha to himself too. It's a very beautiful halacha in halacha. The halacha is, as I said, we use a mikveh for two things, for tumah, for private life, tumah tahara, and also chul shenechal taras hakodesh. Those days you had the besamikdash and you used to eat the tahara food, everything too. And the righteous people, the Purushim, they used to eat everything used on Taharas HaKodesh. Even Tzchulin, the day-to-day food was eaten in the same purity as Taharas HaKodesh. But Kodeshim, there's a very interesting halacha about Kodeshim, that if you go to mikveh, the first, okay, there's a halacha as follows. That's an Akoyin. Akoyin has various levels of Tahara in his house. He has Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh, Chulin, which is on the level of Kodesh. Then he has Kodesh Truma, then it's Kodeshim Kalim, and then it's Kodesh Kodeshim. Everyone is a different high level of Kedusha. Truma you could eat in the whole Eretz Yisrael. even chutzlaris, you could eat lechayda truma. It has to be toy, it has to be pure. Kotchim karen could be eaten in holy Yerushalayim. Kotchim could be eaten only between in kotchim karen could also be eaten in the whole thing, but kodesh kotchim could only be eaten in Yerushalayim in the chatzar b'smikdash and so on and so on. Yet now when a kohen wants to eat truma, he wants to eat it in this dish, to cook truma, and the dish was nitbal, was dipped into the mikveh. The shem kedushas to chulah al paras hakodesh. The plate was the utensil was clean, was tovet. But he made a tevila. He had to tell that I want to eat chulin, regular food al paras hakodesh. That he had to be mechavim. Now the mechanical man, he wants to eat truma. He's not allowed to put in truma in this plate. The plate is not metame, but he put in truma. He can't eat them anymore. Because this plate only contains the capacity of Kedusha, what he taught at the time when he was toivelet in the mikveh. So he has to go to re-toivelet in the mikveh and to bring up the Moshe, out dipping it in order to receive the Kedusha of Truma. Now he dipped it for Truma, so he just came out of the mikveh, goes home, and his wife said, I know we have Kotchim Kalim. Somebody came, gave us a big piece of meat of Kotchim Kalim, of a Shlomim. He says, wants to put him, you can't put him in, because this could only use the capacity of truma. It cannot use kotchim kalim. I just got out of the mikveh. The mikveh does one job, but your machshava has to do the other half job. This is not the halacha in private life in tumat tahara. Now this thing also will be. That means that my machshava has to be a partner with the mikveh, and the mikveh is only as effective as my machshava, as my thoughts were. See, this is only by kotchim. Now this is actually what we're talking about. There will be a difference also regarding the other different halacha. Suppose you walk on the edge of the bank of the river, the bank of a mikveh. You walk, happen to walk, and boom, you fell in. So, I needed to mikveh anyhow, might as well. Or you went to the edge of the sea, and came a gal, came a wave, boom, and you were naked. So, well, Baruch Hashem, I needed to mikveh anyhow. Is it a good mikveh or not? So when it comes to purify from tumah, on day-to-day life, it's a good mikveh. You don't need your machshava. The fact you were tovel, you were tovel. But when it comes to tahara, toisus tahara, as we said by kotchim, it's worthless. Like you were never in a mikveh, because you need machshava. Now, those people who go to the mikveh twice, once in a while when they need it, or whatever it is, a mikveh is a good mikveh. Those people who go every day to the mikveh, if the toisus tahara, they need machshava to that. Without machshava, it's worthless. If you gave him a new day. And I'm growing, and I don't want to repeat my day of yesterday. The Chokhmah Bino Da'as, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me yesterday, today is outdated. I have to be smarter today. I have to grow. If a person ongoing grows, and he prepares a new day, Hashem gave him a new day, and I'm going to get a new Chokhmah Bino Da'as, and I have to grow. This is Toisus Tahara. Therefore, if I know what I'm living, what I'm going to accept is, now it's very understood. I go to the mikveh and I say, Hashem, I want to be mekabel this new day, the new Toisus Tahara which I'm getting. And you have to be mitzvah to machshava to the mikveh, then the mikveh works. Because of kedusha of tahara, they need a connection of machshava to the ma'aser. But on day-to-day, mundane life, which is not a toisus tahara, then the mikveh works is all work without you toisus machshava, without you machshava. Then it's a mikveh, fine. But those who go every day mikveh, it's a moment of shock. Why do you go every day mikveh? You're not talking about every day. I don't mind going every day mikveh for toisus tahara. So if you're going, if you don't have it in mind, the toisus tahara that you want to go every day, the mikveh is worthless. It's worthless. So this is very important not to do things as a habit, because you're taking very high things and making habitualize them, and then it loses its whole value. And the mikveh has no value if you're not having intention of growing to be mikabel something, a tosefes, an addition. Only explain because you bought a mikveh, so okay.
But learning Torah is also, I mean, it's just, you made a statement that there's no real high growth out of mikveh, but if you merge yourself on Torah, you're not.
Again,
something like going to the mikveh. I mean, why would let the dog go mikveh at all? Is there missing something in the Torah? I don't understand the statement.
Listen. I'm not saying. I'm not.
I'm not going to tell what you said. You said it.
I said the Rambam. I listen. I'm not. I'm not defending anyone. I'm not representing any viewpoint. I'm speaking to you very purely. Open up the Rambam. The Rambam says the mikveh is made das, water of wisdom.
Torah is also das, obviously.
I'm not dipping the Torah. The Torah has to be connected. I'm the utensil. I'm putting Torah into me. If I want the Torah should connect with me and I should become a Ben Torah, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu also gives Das. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not tied into a mikveh. And so Chonei Mikveh Chochma Bina V'Das Gimel Chochma Bina V'Das. So now, when I take this body and says, I'm asking Hashem pouring Torah into me. Fine, but how do you know this body will contain the Torah? So I will do the maximum I could do to bring my body to the, to should become a clean utensil, it should be able to connect the Torah. So what is the Eitzel? So the Rambam says, a mikveh is a made Das. Water, not mikveh doesn't give you Das. If you go to mikveh till tomorrow and you're not going to learn Torah, you're going to remain the same bum. Okay, you're going to remain the same bum. No question about it. Mikveh alone doesn't do anything. And Torah does a lot. But in order to Torah, should maxim, you should have the maximum benefit of Torah, you have to cleanse and purify your body, that your body should be Torah should be adaptable to your body. And then no question, the Rambam says, a mikveh helps a lot. So if you go to mikveh in that sense, a different thing. Now, why the litvikas don't go to the mikveh? I'm going to explain you very simply why. There's no such thing as litvikas don't go to the mikveh. There's no such thing as freedom do go to the mikveh. Because I want you to know, 100, 200 years ago, everyone equally went to the mikveh. Okay? But later, when the litvikas put the emphasis more on Torah, 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 and where the chassidim put more emphasis on avoid, and more surrounding things. Now, in order to accomplish Torah, 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 you have to eliminate all kind of hardships. In those days, to go to mikveh was a hardship. There was no water mikveh, it wasn't available. It took you a lot of time. So they took a silence. If you're going to be busy with all this preparation, you're going to miss out basically in Torah. So it says, since halacha, you can learn Torah without it. So by the excessive pouring Torah, it's going to make up for that. So better don't go to the mikveh, don't lose time. But in today's time, that we have mikveh every around the corner, any beautiful warm mikveh, and every other shower, and everything. So all the time, all the reason why they say don't go to the mikveh in order not to waste so much time, it's not. Because you're standing in your own home, you're wasting the same 50 minutes on your shower too. You might as well take the shower and the mikveh. You're not wasting any time. So it's chatzis shalom beide. Are the litvikas chatzis shalom against mikveh? No way. I mean, the chazanish, didn't they write the chazanish that you should never be mevatel tefillah scared in the mikveh, and the statue didn't go Shabbos to the mikveh. Statue when Shabbos to the mikveh was standing after the mikveh, because it was a big machmir of Shabbos, and he went out to the mikveh and was standing like that like an hour without any motion until it completely dried out, because it was machmir of schita. But he went to the mikveh, so they were moist and effort themselves to go to the mikveh. This is a stupidity. Bechlal, you should know there's no such thing as litvikas. You should know 100 years ago, litvikas sidim always kapotas with whole strand, whole bed. The circumstances of the place and of the litvikas, of the thing, made them clean shaven, so it became a derech shita. There's no litvikas shita, clean shaven in this, there's no such a thing. In avoiding, they were always the same. Those days when the mikveh needed to, why do some literary yeshivas the dam mincha gedoy the dam mincha and they make only head mincha? Why do they make a head mincha? Go to the lake, where they're making a head mincha, right? They think haichsim and esra, and they make a head mincha because of bittul teir. Now, what does it mean? You have 500 guys, 1,000 guys on the Semitic learning, and they are learning. There's never a moment they're not learning, and eating. Lunch takes 10 minutes, and dinner takes 25 minutes, and you see full pack the Semedish almost 24 hours a day. So to be Machshav Torah, you could make a Hekshav Nefi, you could have a Mincha 10 minutes shorter, and to 10 minutes to deliver learning, go ahead, do it. But so that's the way it started. Big Bottom Adoshim, big Makai Mr. Torah, and Volozhim, and all other things, where Torah was boiling at the highest thing, so they minimized, and as the Gemara says, Rebbe, when he came and he was learning, it came time of Krishna, Monach put his hand over his eyes, Shema Shem Shem Achad, finished with Krishna, went back to learning. He didn't say the whole thing with the whole long thing. After Lachikus Shem Achad, Krishna went further learning, because in the middle of the highest boiling point of learning, you're not without learning, you just do the bare minimum which you have to do. So, therefore, the implant. But today's time, Baruch Hashem, and breakfast takes 3/4 hours. In a lunch takes 1.5 hours. And you have even times, a good percentage of the Valdiga Masmedim reading, the Daily News, or the New York Times every day. But Mincha, you have to daven a heaven Mincha. Okay? Mincha, you have to daven a heaven Mincha. So that's the way it's called. There's no mikveh, there's no Mincha, there's no this, no this. But then everything else to do that. But the world has to offer to do that. All this thing has eliminated in order to place it with the highest degree of Torah. But when you give up the highest degree of Torah, there's no smore, there's no any hot guidance, and you stay without the milk, and you stay without the milk, and that's a little bit of it, becoming little bumps. That's what it's becoming. So it's not the issue of litvikas or chassidim at all. It's unfortunate. It has the name so. So just a clarity point. The kasha yasmi diaba viyistai. And as more, the second line from above, kasha yasmi, as more, this ups and minus will go on, yaave, this web of this spider will become thicker, the yistam, and it's going to block the passages. Actually, yimna, you're going to eliminate hagoyes or Hashem shalabash. You will not let through the light of the sun into the house. Like usually, you work on a window. You're going to come so dark in the window that the light will never pour in. But in the beginning of his web, he's very weak, with dark adamas, he's very thin, the little thing just opens up. And the more he will do it, it's going to become thicker. The will eliminate the light of the sun to come into the heart. So it's exactly the deed of the Yetzer in your heart. In the beginning of your Yetzer will be cholish more. It will be very weak. Yetzer is very thin in the beginning. He's not going to hold you back to see the truth. In the beginning, you see the truth, you know the truth. And if you want to feel the meal, this is the Yetzer. You're going to take it off in your heart. It's going to become very easy light on you. However, if you're going to stumble in this Yetzer, you're not going to try to eliminate. But it's Alam, man. You're going to look away from this link. Your chazak is going to get stronger. It's going to hold back the light of your own sechel from you. And then it's going to become hard to reveal it from your recognition. Okay, is it?
Yavan was a little bit.
Yavan was a kochma. Choshech in or. Or is a sechel. Or is a sechel. Choshech is the darkness. Fast the dark in the sechel. And this is kochma sevonis. Kochma sevonis is getting it. Alken therefore, my lahatzelus nafshecho. Haste and be. Make it fast to rescue your soul. Ve'he'ozer ve'elohim, and take help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to have help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'tchoisem alecho, to push it away from you. U'trach ve'ishtadel, and work hard to be mishtadel, to eliminate. Te'yoir bo'oir ha'chokhme, light up with the light of Chokhme. V'tireh, then you're going to see amitas ha'dvorim, the truthness of this word, ve'ein libecho, with the eyes of your heart, not necessarily with the eyes of your brain. So we have eyes here, but we have also eyes here. Now, everyone could see with the eyes here. It's a common sense of logic to prove it. But how many times we see we prove black and white and we know it and it doesn't affect the heart? Because the eyes, the feeling of the heart does not go on. But the more you're going to wash it and eliminate, you're going to see be'ein libecho with the eyes of your heart. Your heart is going to be connected to your brain and it's going to react exactly to the eyes. Predecessors in the VM, the prophets, they compared the mice of the Yetzer men from Sholim Nachlokim Menaksuv Menakosim many Mosholim. Comparison from the Pa'omer says, V'yovah Halech Le'isha Oshiv, and when this girl went to the rich man, the Yachma Lekachos Mitzrayim Mevkorei, went and he the Yachma Lekachos Mitzrayim Mevkorei, Lassus Larech Abola, V'yikach Askivsos Isha Rosh, V'yasei Le'isha Bo Eilav. It says, Mitzchila, first he calls Yoba Helech, the goer. Vachika Khura Oreach. The Yetzer Hara first is a goer. Like a wayfarer, just passes by. And if he passes by, and if you don't stop him, Achika Khura Oreach, then he becomes already your guest. Vachika Khura Ish, and then he calls him a man. Says, Yoba Helech Lisha Oshir. The man, the Yetzer Hara comes first as Helech, and he wants to take from his son with Koroi. Lasses lo reach, it becomes an reach. We can skip the ish, then it becomes an ish. Omer asu shalorach, but also with the Chotem and Omer Mashalech and Yosham, it chilo holach, vachikach omat, vachikach Yosham. But then when it's a harbor, we see all this tsukim that he compares the Yetzer Hara. First it comes in very tiny, first it's a hoiler,
passes by,
then it becomes a guest, and then he sits down, and then he throws you out. He takes over. Chishev em nachshev ochi. Think with your nefesh, my brother, out there, what you're speaking, Kivadoimelo, in all these comparables. And force your nefesh, force your soul, on all the things which is makes necessary to rescue yourself. Chocham said, those who don't want to look, Anshera, the bad people, they will not understand mishpat, not understand judgment. But those who search Hashem, will understand everything. The one who's searching for Hashem, the one who's searching for the true, he will understand everything, will know everything. Nothing is eliminated for him. But those, Amshira, if a person is Ra, Lo Yavinu Mishpat, the most simplest Mishpat, the simplest judgment, common sense, they will not understand. So obviously, we see that in order to understand, not understand things, starts with the attitude. Have you a good attitude, you could understand everything. have your bad attitude, you want to be ra, you're not even understand the most common sense, you're not going to be able to understand. Rachamisho, so the 15 cheshmis. Cheshmis are enough, so when a person makes a cheshmis, it's nefesh. Was man also means an oisa, koide matzoyre chelein. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu is preparing his food in advance before he even needs it. When a man is preparing his food before he needs to work, and we work forward, when any of them, we don't even know Yimiyama, we're going to live as long and to benefit from it. Ad until we're going to benefit. People prepare, put away, lay away plans. Well, you're not even convinced of knowing that really you're going to benefit from this, what you begin. When a man goes on a long trip, he prepares all these things which he needs to do many days before he prepares for his trip. He looks in the place where he's coming, what will he need, what kind of businesses. What he will go with, who is going to ride, where will he rest, and which hotels is going to be. You make all the preparations, how to prepare, how to go, what is there, not. You make many, but you don't even know for sure. Do you know what Hashem wants you how to go? How many people prepare for a trip and they never end up making the trip? Or many people prepare, all of a sudden they drop dead and they get nowhere, but you're still preparing. You prepare, you don't even know what Hashem really wants you to prepare the long time. And the Erech said, same way, Ochi, my brother, Anachnu as, Chayovim liyas nachayim lemoyed. We have to be always prepared to the timeless Daman and to be prepared to Derech al-Choyko, to this long way, to the long journey, al-Oilamach, we have to go to the other world. We're all in preparation one day to be called home. And we're going to have to make this long journey into the other world. And we have to be prepared, say, Dola Derech, we have to take along. You see the contrast, what it is. We all know that one day we're going to go on this long journey, and we need a lot of preparation. Are we always in preparing? We're not preparing. We have time. You sure you're going to be called in? So why don't you prepare? You never know when you're being called in. Why aren't you always ready with all your valises? In the minute you be prepared to be called in. But no. It's not me. What is not me? Every person has to die, but when you see a Levi, it's never him. It's never you. Okay, it's never you. But at the same time, you see people who go on trips, they're preparing, they're planning, they're everything, and you don't even know if you go on trips. Some of the people prepare for vacation for trips and they never do it, but they're prepared. So you see, obviously, I have an interesting episode here, that people are continuously preparing things which they're not sure really they're going to make, and if they're going to make them, how they're going to be able to use what they're prepared. At the same time, when we are preparing for some unknown future, which we don't even know if we're going to make it, at the same time, we are not preparing something which we know for sure that we're going to make. We're all being called home for the long journey, and we're neglecting to prepare, but we have to be always ready to stand on the valises. Really, a person is a complete person, is always ready to die. What is other mashal? You know, when you have your act together, how do you know they have your act together? You know it? When Hashem tells you, you have to die this minute, you're ready. At all times, your clothes should be white. Always be ready. Always be ready for death. Always be ready for death means what? Who says nobody? Doesn't mean that you have to be willing to die every moment. You shouldn't. Almost no. But what? Don't you do tshuva 3 times a day in davening? And don't you thank Hashem 100 times a day?
You always could say you could have done more.
I understand. That you could do every Mitzvah Hashem, and you're going to die too. But Lemaisa, a person has to be two things. With two things he's ready. He has to prepare two things. One, he has to always to be in a matzav of tshuva. You should never have a ched b'yodoy. Ched b'yodoy means he does something wrong and knows he does something wrong, continues to do it for the sake of doing it. Then he's a rosh at that moment. He shouldn't die a rosh. A person has to be always mecharet, always mecharet. Obviously, you have to be the tshuva. That's number one, being prepared. Number two, a person has to be prepared that he should be able to thank every moment for the gift which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him to live, or for all his past. A person has to be thankful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything which happened to him. You have to be Sameach V'Chelko. Even the terrible past, even if you have done wrong, because you did tshuva, especially did tshuva Me'ahava. An accomplished life is when a person dies and he could die with a smile on his face and say, Hashem, I'm thanking you for everything which you have done for me. And if I would have to live through again, I would repeat myself the same thing which I got. If you go into a restaurant, you love the menu, and you go next visit, I want the same thing which I got yesterday. You love the menu. You don't want any, I don't even have to look anymore. Give me this repeat. a person has to be Sameh v'chelkoi. When a person feels accomplished, how? When it comes to the moment that he dies, Hashem, the Bnei Shtoim have to come again, repeat, I'm in love with you. Anything you gave me, all the bad things, all the circumstances, all my pitfalls, everything, I made the maximum out of it. I did tshuva, my hava vidat, and it's also my benefit. Let's go ready to die. You have to be always ready to thank Hashem for every position. And this is something which all of us, so this, you have to be every day in a position, thinking positively, be happy with yourself, to be a Sameach v'chelkoi. I'm accepting my everything Hashem gives, because those are my ingredients. This is my mission. With this, I accomplish. And this, but this acknowledgement, actually, you're accomplishing your mission. See, it proved that you're really the messenger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You did what you have to do. You can't run away from this debt. You always have to value it. Say the preparation. This day going to come. It's going to burn like an oven. The day is going to come, it's going to be the oven, the Gerem is going to be there. How could we not think about it? When the Siyam Asmedes and the journey is going on, you're moving. You say, well, this is, I'm not yet. First minute, look at the watch, don't you see it's advancing? Where is it advanced? To your funeral. You're dying right now. Every moment you're dying. It's when you see you in this trip, Masmedes is an ongoing trip, even while you sleep. It carries you, and you're a Pullman, you have a sleeping coach, but it carries you to your grave. It's not somewhere distant away. We're already on the trip, we're already on the journey to go to the world to come. You're ready now, because every moment you exist, you're getting closer to that journey. So how come when you are, while you're on the journey, how come you're not preparing immediately? The Eichli Salam and Siyam Asmeres, how should we look away from this continuous, ongoing trip? We have toko to diro in the continuous disconnection. Don't you see you're getting disconnected from continuously? Every moment you're losing a moment, every hour losing an hour, every day losing a day. Yesterday is gone, you're never going to see it again. You're never going to see the last month, the last day. It's that toko to diro, it's continuous disconnection. So how come you don't feel bad? I lost the day. Did I utilize the day properly? But there, still there's a long way to go. And there's no rest place. Very far to get rest. You know, when you're going to rest and you're closing your eyes and they let you in peace, if you prepared enough preparation, then is the next rest place. Because meanwhile, you're going a long highway and it's a long way to get to the next. Madhuela Samne Alibane, why don't you put to our heart, Liskarachasin, to remember our future? We don't think of the preparation which we need for those trips. It's a sakna of Oyna Makol, we're always busy in this world which gets lost. We're living along the world which will exist forever. We're always busy in the pain of our body. We're always busy to alleviate, to tranquilize the pain of our body. But we forget the pain of our wisdom, of our seichel, of our neshama. We're always busy working the badness of the Yetzer. But we're abandoning the worship of our Creator. We will worship our lust. But we're not going to worship our God. I used to this confusion. How much is this confusion affecting us in a total way? The shiklus, to this drunkenness, this intoxication. How strong is our intoxication? It's being smeared. The eye is being smeared with some glue that you can't see twin clearly. Masculine voice, you can't let know your heart the truth. Woman says, Shochru v'loiniyan. They became drunk without wine. They're just confused, crazy. You're drunk, intoxicated without wine. No v'loi sheikhoi. It says, no v'loi sheikhoi. Like the drunk, like the move on, like the imbalance, without beer, without drinking. In other words, we lost our balance, we lost our vision, we lost our clarity without wine. We're total drunks, we're just going around and living this drunken life without any accountability, and without really drinking. It's only because we're not really concentrating on our freedom of our responsibility as we should. Good Chanukah tonight. Tomorrow is regular shiur, yeah?
We're holding the Shisha also, the 16 Cheshbon HaNefesh. We have 30 Cheshbon HaNefesh, 30 calculations. And we're now holding on the 16th. Cheshbon Adam and Avshai. A person should make a cheshbon with himself. Al oirech zman omde ba'oilam. How long does he expect to stay in this world? How long are you staying here in this world to begin with? The Yala Liboy, once you know the calculation how much you expect to live, then bring up on your heart Kirvas Kitzoy, that his end comes closer to him. Boy Hamovas Elov, and the death comes upon him. Every time the Eishiray Misa Sharacha in Pisay Mimidabar Vezilosay. Every time he sees any other living creature is all of a sudden dying from people or others, even animals. You see, people come to an end. Life comes to an end. Bibli Hagdomas Yediyah Bedovar, without even in advancing, letting him know you're going to die soon. Veloy Remez Veloy Moi Didua, they don't even hint him at a particular time when you're going to die. She would tich mi oisav. There's no point was given for that, okay? Unfortunately, which in this unfortunately, there's one fortunate. Now, those people getting internally sick on cancer, a non-curable cancer, one advantage they had, they got noticed. Yeah, they got notice. Listen, you're not going to get out of it. It may take a few months, it may take a year, but you're going to go.
So at least they have a chance to
that, see, this is one advantage that you have in this eternal sickness. When people get involved, you know, they can't escape. And even this one little advantage, they also abuse it. They bitter about it and they cry about it and they can't get themselves together. And should they tell it to him? Should they not tell it to him? Of course, there's no common answer. Should you tell it to the patient, not to tell the patient? It depends on the person. The person who lives with this cheshbon nefesh, who lives with this cheshbon all his life, is all of his life preparing to his death, and he knows he could be called in without even notice a second before, all of a sudden he drops dead, all of a sudden accident happens, all of a sudden something happens on him. And the person is nervous about it, and all of a sudden the person gets sick. The first reaction of the person says, "El cholot pochus, at least, I got notice," and from now until the end, I gotta be in one month of a preparation. And of course, that's such a person. You have to tell. You have to say. You have to say, listen, the doctor says so and so. So at least, you know, utilize it properly. But the mice, people try to avoid this question all their lives. Says, listen, it's bothering me. Why should I think about the future? Okay, why should
he thinks, because I'm going to die, that means I don't have. He's trying to get aggravated.
No, people, while they are well, they don't want to think about it. They don't want to think about it. It's my typical line which I always use. I mean, I speak total secular people to prove to them that the life, there's no happiness in life, there's no point. And I always ask them, what's the point of making birthday parties? It's my line. Why are you making a birthday party? Nobody could give a logical answer. Because a birthday should be the saddest day in you get a birthday, it means you're 1 year behind you, you're 1 year closer to your death, you're never going to see it again. And instead of making a birthday party, I would make a mini funeral. You just buried 1 year, you just get 1 year. So what's the point of making parties? And they have no answer. So once somebody answered me, yes, just because it's a sad day, we make a party to forget the sadness. I said, yes, you're right. Because that's what we're doing, we're partying all life around to forget the sadness that eventually we're going to go. You don't have to go to a milestone, to a birthday. Every time when you look at your watch, see your watch is moving, you say it moves to your grave. You know, it just moves to your grave. This minute is gone. Dying on you.
Is that pessimistic a little bit to look at it?
Not pessimistic.
When you acknowledge, I think that's why people make a birthday, they acknowledge, oh, they live to, let's say they make a 50, 70 birthday. Oh, I for the late liberty cure.
So what? So you had children for 70 years?
I think it's
a serious idea,
no?
Serious, oh, that's something else. Yeah, if somebody lives, and it comes the year end and he's celebrating Baruch Hashem, I learned so much Gemara and I keep so much mitzvahs and I keep this and I converted in this life into conserved it into eternity, and therefore you could make a serious ador, you tank. Yes, if a person could make a serious ador, none of us are making serious ador. Serious ador is the giving upstairs in the show to Ach Yerim Meitz. As long we are here, Asher Odom Mefach Atomino Vanoisa Shevayodov. Ksav Sofer, it's a beautiful story. Ksav Sofer once used to come in 3 o'clock to the shiva, used to give the shiva ksav sofer in yeshiva. Once it doesn't appear, 3 o'clock, so goes to Shamus, goes looks at whatever, it doesn't appear, it's not usual. I looks into the keyhole, and see the Rebbe sits and cries and cries and cries. And he asked the Rebbe, what happened? Why are you crying so much? What happened? So the Rebbe says, I'm crying, it's my birthday. So he says, so why are you crying? Well, so many years went by, and the whole year went by my birthday, and what did I accomplish in life? My life is gone, I'm never going to see it again. And he's crying for his birthday. So that's, you know, who could give a serious advice? Who is so sure of himself that the God, before he passed away, the last moments of his life, he made a cheshbon nefesh, and he gathered together in all his life, there's a few versions in the story, all together he collected together in his life 2 hours he couldn't give an accounting for. And that they did tshuva. They didn't give a berachas hadoya. Let's see, if he lived for 80 years, 80 years he lived a productive life. 2 hours that you couldn't give an accounting for what he accomplished in 2 hours, that was his tshuva. He was busy not to see the sadoya, he was busy was to make tshuva in the 2 hours unaccountable time. So who can give a Sira Sador a birthday?
But the Sira Sador alone could be a mitzvah if you thank Hashem.
Yes, but no? But how do you get to... of course you make a Sira Sador, but you do it in tremblance. Gilu bir odo. How much waste of time was there? So we have to do tshuva. Birthday is a day of a tshuva. Now, so what do people do? People don't try to think. The people, all the... A successful life today is if you could tranquilize yourself and keep busy and escape the reality that every moment you're approaching your end. That's all. What is a good? What is the whole entertainment field? What is so-called false philosophical field? And even the even more false religious fields in all the other areas? To people let themselves tranquilize with a guilt conscience and with awareness that they're going to an end. The person goes down, down, down into the grave. That's what it's an escape. The whole thing is an escape. So if a person is in the whole life in escape, and all of a sudden suddenly gets sick, internally sick, and if you tell him that the doctor said he haven't got more than 3 months, of course he's devastated, because all his life was busy to escape, and all of a sudden he has been trapped and he can't escape anymore. So he's been devastated. However, the person, as the Cheshbon, they says, the Cheshbon 16, that you think with yourself, how much do you expect to live? So every person says, how much do you expect to live? 70, 80, 90, how much do you want to live? Okay, let's say you're very optimistic, you're going to live 120. You're going to live 100. Fine. But when you reach 60, you have is gone. You're going on the downside. Are you aware of it? That's the cheshbon. So if a person is always busy making the cheshbon that every day you're losing and every day getting closer, is a cheshbon. So when a person gets sick and he's being told, listen, you're going to die and so, he's not that, he's not petrified. He says, a pretty sad, but at least I have an advantage. I could prepare myself. I could prepare. Now, I'm not talking about secular people now. I'm talking about frum people. Can I tell you even? Unfortunately, we have such a very shallow concept of living that we're so much afraid of the unknown that we want to escape it from our mind. I had a very close friend. That was a very, very sad, sad thing. A very close friend, unfortunately, is gone already. It's not in this world anymore. So the Ilan Ishmosa. And he got sick. He was sick about 14, 15 months on cancer. And when it was discovered that he's sick on this thing, I mean, the family was devastated, he was devastated, and everyone, I was devastated. I mean, a close friend and yeshiva together, a young man, and I got known it, I was very beside myself, you know, for him. So I went to visit him to the hospital. And while I went to the hospital, I said, what can I, he's a ben Torah, he's a baal seichel, he's a gvaldige smart person, and a gvaldige talmud chochem, I was a good businessman, a very good businessman, top of a very popular good business, family business. And I said to myself, you go to visit him, what would you tell him? What should I tell him? He said, you have to tell him what I would tell myself. What I would tell myself. So I came in my mind, I'm going to tell him two things. Two advisors, everyone ran to advisors, every rabbi, every mekubal, and everything was tried out, okay? Every vitamin and every mekubal and every kameh and every brocha and everything was, every lulav was shaken, okay? So I went with the line, I told him, listen, Yanko, I can't tell you too many things, I could only tell what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kom lamed es ben amor et stoira, filo kosh bocha goi ze gzera, hu mavatloi. Shenem in toi tzirku vzera, ki fi siya. Which the Gemara says, the Gemara says a whole pirush on that, if somebody takes an Amoritz, a child of Amoritz, the one who had been deprived of learning Torah. Take a secular person, and you learn with him Torah, you make him a ben Torah, learn with him Torah, like his mouth will be. I feel a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even Kodesh Baruch Hu had decreed a Gzeirah, like a Gzeirah, what could be more Gzeirah than cancer? Who mevatel like the other? You could be mevatel yourself, you could be mevatel. The power is, you could be mevatel like Gzeirah. So I told him, listen, The Gemara doesn't need credentials. The Aftocha doesn't need credentials. My promise. It's a Gemara's promise. All you need, I could guarantee, I give a Ben Amoritz, like a Brisker Amoritz, a Chazonish, a Shih Chazon, that I could give you. And the teaching Gemara, I could tell you. So I thought, but I would advise, take on yourself a Malamed, one of the Baal Tshuva Yeshivas, let's say, Sroel, or he, whatever it is, that he's teaching all day long Bnei Amratzim Torah. And he has a power. The Gemara says, he has a Gewaldige power, and you finance him, and it becomes you poil, you worker, Yad Poil Ki Yad Balabais, and you hire a person just like you did it, and let this, I have such a program, the Shantan program, I have such a program, that let he every day before he opens his mouth learning Torah, there's someone else says, I'm a messenger, I'm a shliach of this and this and this and this, he pays me my salary, and all the Torah which I'm learning is in his chus, and therefore, Hashem, you should be mevatel the gzeira, you should go out and move his l'chaim, you should become healthy. This is one eitzah, but I didn't benefit from it, I didn't do it for myself, this is something which I believe in. I have about hundreds of people by now participating in a monthly program, teaching and so on and so. Okay, this was one eitzah which I intended to tell him. And the second thing is, I intended to tell him, so, Me'etz Hashem, if you're going to get well, you're going to get out of there, there's a inif another m'shas sorry. You make an eitzah to call m'shas sorry. But listen, you're laying on your dying bed. But we hope Hashem will make for you a miracle, don't listen to the doctors, you're going to get out of it. If you get out of it, dedicate your life to Torah. Finish. Oh, it's business. You didn't have to business. Because if you die, you're not going to continue business. Just because you stay alive, you have to continue business. You're petrified that you're going to die. The doctor says you're going to die. They don't see any cure out. So you give up on business. Just because the Kosh Boch extends your life, you have to go back to business. Just tell Hashem, if you dedicate your life to serving Hashem. If this is in learning Torah, or teaching others, or askonas, to make for Yiddishkeit, give your life away for Klal. And that's it. This was my second thing which I wanted to tell. Because, so what will happen if you even don't get well, but you still have 30 years to go? At least you dedicated 30 years to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you would have got well, this would be like with another just to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even you die, but the 30 years which you potentially would be, so all Cheshbonus would be, that was my second thing. Fine, I come to the hospital, and there's a third good friend of ours, a common friend of ours, also Choshev Yid, also Choshev Balabos, also Choshev Ben Teire, but also Balabos, very Choshev. It was also, we were talking, and he was saying, it was this, and this one said this one, and he kept saying, the Choyler to Abitochen, I'm going to get well, I believe in the tefillah, I believe it is fine, it should also be. So then I started telling him about this Eitzah, that, you know, this Gemara is his and this. And as I'm saying it, I go, I know you're doing a lot of things, but if it's a push, it's a Zach, and he, all of a sudden, the third guy speaks up and says, listen, Yanko, forget about all these things. Be normal. Don't jump. Don't take Eitzahs. Like he wanted to calm him down. He wanted to calm him down. Don't take Eitzahs. Don't. You're nothing. You've got to be good. You've got to be healthy. Just be normal. I kept shut up and fact, I said, listen, everyone gives him all kind of kumeas and all kind of segulas and all kind of superstitious things. I'm giving him a shtikl gemara. And if he, no matter what, and obviously many times we see that it doesn't work, we see many tefillahs doesn't work, but you know, tefillah, chazok hashem, tefillah chazer esrekam, which is say, the shviris hakzera, the breaking the gzera, is not necessarily when you see it with your eye and you get what you want. Shviris HaGzeira means you may die, but still there's a Shviris HaGzeira. The Gemara's Avtocha stays. You may not see the printout the way necessarily you could read them. So whatever the Gemara tells, whatever Chazal said, that's obvious. Okay? You put in a tefillah, Chazoka, She'ed Tefillah Chazeira Srekam. No tefillah comes back empty. Every tefillah is being answered positively. I don't see you got what you want. Who says it has to be answered the way you have to see it? It's being answered the right way, which is good for you, which you don't see. The printout you're going to see later. So all the investments that you do for life, it's all there. It's not necessarily the way you see it. But once he knocked me off so like this, he shut me off. I didn't even tell him already the second thing. Because he gave him the false support. You'll be normal. You're going to get well. You're going to go back. And he told him this. Yanko, you're going to get well. You're going to go back to business. You're going to work. You're going to become an old person. So, don't take on this big, big things. And when he said this exactly when I was prepared to tell him, give your life up for Torah, I shut up. And what do you think was him eulogizing? What do you think they said on him on the Hesped? He was a Gewaldige guy. He was about to feel. He was a Choshevid. He was a Barbisoy. He said a Shia, everything. So what? One of the big Shvachim of the Hesped was a good businessman. He was a Chochem. Bankers advised him. Till the last day he was working like a, that's one of the big Shvachim. That's a total misconception. That this is a Shvach on a person. And when he felt a little bit better, he went in. So he used to go and he used to see they have a day in the home and in the shul to learn, but he went into the business a few hours. Now, I could understand if he needed it to make forget his problems, he needed a business in order to normalize it. But why should a Jew consider it be normalized if he could go into the business a few hours? Why? And the same mistake was after the Holocaust. After the Holocaust, when people survived after millions of Nisim, and they survived, they forgot totally how much Hashem invested in them in order to survive. Millions of Nisim had to come in order to survive. And when they went back to dive the normal, natural life like nothing happens. It's stupid. How much could Baruch invest it on you? At the same time, there were very few individuals who before the Holocaust, they were simple bottom workers, Habanushlos, Fanuska. He was a businessman before the Holocaust. He had a store from selling yard goods in Pittsburgh, where we lived. My father with him. They lent Chavrusa every morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. But he was a businessman. And then when he survived the Holocaust, he lost his wife and children. They survived. And my father came back, and my father didn't dive into business and took care on the orphans and got them together, made a kosher kitchen and taught them and teach them and married them. Like, he was busy. Not everyone was busy making business, grabbing some big opportunities in black marketing right after the war. Was shortage, just people became rich. Barrels of gold they accumulated. It was unbelievable times those days to Russians. And he went back and saw a whole half case. So he was busy and he sat between, got together the bochums, learned to them and the girls, and they married them off. All of a sudden he's at the Schaber, Moshe Nash, assistant patch, and sits and learns. He just said, doesn't want to from anything. But he came back. He saw millions of miracles that he came back and he lost his family. He says, I was 100 times dead. Just because I remained alive, I should go back to business. He said, didn't want to from anything. Sat down to learn. Sat down to learn. And learned all day and all night. Didn't want to from the whole world was chaotic in business. He sat to learn. But I remained alive for what? Grab him what you can. My father hears that he's learning over there. So went to call him. He says, listen, I have a lot of work to do here, a lot of build back the community, everything here is book have to learn. If you learn again, we sit and learn with them. We brought him back to Sederhel. He set him down. He made him rough in Sederhel. That's where he became Sederhel rough. And since then, is what he is. That's what he became. So what was? His whole greatness was that when he remained alive, he said, I didn't remain alive to continue business. How many people of us, when we get the scare, that scare, the doctor says, you have cancer, we don't, it's malignant, it's not malignant. What should a person do? If you could only survive without going to work further, the first thing a person should say, regardless what it is, that's it. I got my tzav gius, I got my draft card, come home. The fact I could postpone it, I could extend it, for what? I should make more business. What's the point? Sit down, prepare, learn the fantic. That's the best thing. And this is the cheshem what you said. That when a person knows that eventually he's dying anyhow, and we don't know why, and we don't know when, and all of a sudden, so every time you see somebody else dies, if you see somebody dying, crying at the funeral, don't think he's crying on the guy who passed away, he's crying for himself, he's sad for himself. That's all, he's sad for himself. He's sad, it's sadness, the chai, when it comes to Beit HaEvel, it goes to the funeral, goes to Menachem Oval, this could happen to me. Many times we think that we have pity, we mishtata b'tzores acherim, that we share out. We don't share, never mind, we're selfish, we don't care for anything. However, when we hear some bad news by somebody else, yeah, it's terrible, terrible. You know why terrible? Because it could happen to you, that's all. You're afraid, it's connected, it calls home, it calls home. But you take it wrongly. You even misconstrue it. Even you misinterpret even the terrible feeling. No, you mean for him. You have a soft heart. Because when the guy makes $1 million the lottery ticket, you're not so much happy for him than the guy is sick and you're miserable for him. Because when the guy makes $1 million, he can't sleep at night because I'm so excited about you. I'm so excited about you. It's gefährlich. You're pretty angry. Why didn't I made it? But when the guy got totally sick, listen, I couldn't sleep at night. You couldn't sleep at night because you're afraid of yourself. You just don't want to admit it because if you're admitting it, you have to make a calculation of life, how you should live a life. It's a gewaltige cheshbon. Now, a person who lives with this cheshbon when he's healthy, well, and young, he knows it goes on, and he still lives with all of the shadows. He knows that one day we're going to go there, but utilize the time. A person like that, chas v'sholom, gets sick, and it comes the time, and the doctor tells him, it's a blessing for him. At least, it didn't take me by surprise. I have enough time to prepare. and let me dedicate my every moment of now. It's a free life of first of all doing tshuva of the past and doing tshuva mehav and converting and fight for life in order to appreciate every moment that I could still breathe for you, still do a mitzvah for you, still put on tefillin for you, still said other brocha, still one omen eshmerava set for you, things like that. That a person lives in this situation, he sees Otot is dying and is fighting to live another day, other moment. Now you put in value for all the past life. Now you appreciate. Now you see the Baruch Shalom, I want to live. As David the Melech says, because of a Saper Massacre. So a person like that, if he knows it, it's a blessing. At least he knows how to take his life in his hand.
No, but
let's
say one time, if you give to a person another minute to live, he will pay any amount of money.
If he knows what to do with it.
Right. Now, some people have an expression, secular, like to go to a movie, I'm going to
kill time.
Money.
Killing time, yeah. Opposite. Killing time.
You take the most expensive thing, precious thing, and kill it.
Absolutely. But what is the most precious thing for a person is not life. It's the only thing which you have. And matter of fact, the only thing which has free choice. It's two ways. Time is the only possession which a person has. The only value which a person has is time. And the real value, the essence of the value, which is the person's value, is his free choice. It's very interesting. The whole free choice is expressed in the Torah in one area. Chaim Amovis. Bochata bochata. Choose life. Which lemaisa, if you take it literally, life death is the last thing that you have free choice in. Nobody knows when he's leaving, and nobody wants to leave. You forcefully die. How does the Torah say, "Vesatzos mecha hayom v'sochaim v'samoves u'bechavto v'chaim"? Choose life. Pshat is that you could put life into. You could take your entire past and infuse them with life, with productivity in one moment. If you do tshuva me'ahava, that's the beauty. Pshat is, this is literally true what I'm saying to you. Look, I'm putting in front of you. Hayom right today. What is it that Hashem puts in front of me? Life and death is in front of me. When you could go to an empire, say, building, if you want, you could jump. If you don't want, that's what Hashem wants to tell me. You could commit suicide. You could commit this. That's not Pshat. Pshat goes back and says, I Hashem noisen give lefonecho in front of you. Whom I'm putting in front of you? Yourself I'm putting in front of you. You're 30 years old. You're 40 years old. You're 50 years old. Take you 40 years, and I'm putting this 40 years in front of you. What can you do with this 40s? You could infuse life. You could revive him. How? Do tshuva mehava. As the Gemara says. It's my latest motion. Imagine somebody invents a device. But you push a button, you get back all the money in your lifetime that ever you spent. How much is worth such a device? How much do people pay for such a device? So, If you figure out, I spend in my lifetime $1 million. You want to be a businessman? I would pay $950,000. If you guarantee him $1 million return, I would buy a machine like this for $950,000 profit. Okay, it has a price tag. You could figure it out. Suppose you push the next moment the button again, it produces again $1 million. How much is it worth?
No.
No. Every moment you push, you get back $1 million.
That's interesting.
My motion goes in detail. Wait a second. You get everyone to me, how much is it worth? Well, this is ready. But somehow you could figure out. Expect how much is your life expectation, and you're going to push it for 24 hours a day. You're going to share it with you and your wife and your children. Shabbos, you get the Shabbos going. You make sure that everyone should be pushed every moment. Okay. You could figure out. I could expect to live 30 years more. What is the maximum it could produce? I would say 50% of it. It's a life insurance risk, You have it. It's how they call this the job. They have this
actuary.
You could figure out. It has a certain potential value. But suppose you have a machine. You press the button, you get $1 million. Press again the button, you get $2 million. Press again, you get $4 million. I get 8 months multiplication. That is no price. You can't figure it out. You can't. 20 times you're over. You're endless. When things multiply, it's just endless. This machine we got, the third machine we got. We got this potential we got, that's called tshuva mehava. This is the gift that we got. Because Baruch Hu gave us a method that you could take any moment of your life and you could double up your life. You could get back your entire past. You're 40 years old, get back your 40 years. I said tshuva mehava, the one who turns to Kushbach. And it's love to Kushbach. It's the noise from Asok Kizoch. It's the famous becomes mitzvah. So you get 40 years old, You get a 40-year-old Rosha, it instantly, in one moment, you gave birth to a 40-year-old Tzaddik. You know, the story in the Gemara, Loza Vendor died, a big Rosha. It didn't do, and every prostitute of Israel says the Gemara. And then all of a sudden, the last day, last moment, he did tshuva mi'ahav, and he cried and cried until he passed out, and he came out of Baskon, Rebbe, Eloza ben Adam, Zuma l'chai l'ma. Get the name Rebbe, why? Because he did tshuva mi'ahav, so all his life, all his affairs got instantly converted into a mitzvah. Now suppose you continue to live at other moment, and you continue to do this method of tshuva mi'ahav further, you're not stopping. Tshuva is an ongoing thing, as the, then it doubles up. You're 40, become 80, become 160, become 320, like, because the deeper the tshuva is, it's because nitzchi is the word nitzchi, eternity. Eternity is not only time; it's not only time-wise in quantity; it's in quality eternalizing. See, we have usually a conception of eternity that you take a situation and you freeze it for eternity. So whatever it is, it's going to stay forever. Yes, this is going to stay forever if it's eternity. But a living person, a productive person, when it's productive, it produces continuously, eternally, it's not only produces a million forever, which is quantity, in quality it's eternity. Million, two, four, eight, and so on and so on and so on. This is called nitzchi. Because we choose eternity, eternity is not always in the front of you, eternity also goes in the back of you, because then you go into it's a term of eternity, time is limitation, beginning and end. Eternity has no end. If it has no end, there's no beginning. So you are not bound to the existence. And that's called tshuva. The method of tshuva is, tshuva mehava, that you're passing into the world of eternity, then you could take your entire past, and the past is in front of you. And you could always infuse your past, not only your future, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. This is Bechira. Rei, look, onoichi ay Hashem, noisim giv. What is the gift of a person through Torah? And the noisim now, I'm giving you a sabchai and a samovas. Who am I giving? I'm giving yourself. I'm giving you to choose to create yourself, make something out of yourself. Everything which you are, which you represent, doesn't matter who you are. Let me see you, who you are. And now what you are, you could revive him, you could make clear summation, or you could kill him. Because you take this moment, you didn't push that button, you literally committed suicide. Pshat is, not yesterday when you sinned, you messed up. Today, when you don't do tshuva on it, then you messed up. Because the yesterday sin could be today converted into a mitzvah. And if you don't do today the mitzvah, now you made avir. And that's the beautiful explanation. Here the Chazal says that a person doesn't sin, only a stupidity goes into it. A person in his right mind cannot sin. A person in his right mind cannot do what he does. So why are we punishable? We are fools. We are shaitim. We are shaitim spotim. We are shaitim. I was forced to do that very. But the Yetzirah gets me, I'm helpless. So how am I punishable? The answer is, you're not punishable what you did avera. After the avera, the avera is gone. Now I have no Yetzirah. Why don't you capitalize on that avera right now? Do tshuva. Learn, understand Hashem, understand your life, understand the gift that you got. Gain love to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're giving such a gift, and utilize it. Now you could do tshuva. You could convert that avera of yesterday, which you were helpless. You could convert them today into the mitzvah. But this is already you're doing. Why don't you do it? That's the avera. Comes out, the avera of yesterday is not the avera which I did yesterday. The avera of yesterday is an act. The avera is every moment you stay in that avera, don't do tshuva. Because every moment you could do of this avera a mitzvah, and you don't do it, that's the avera. That's the bechira. That's of the free choice. We have no free choice in our inclination, our instincts, our past. We have no. Our past, I was a shaiter. But Hashem says, I'm giving all your past in front of you. As long you are living, you are in front of yourself, and you could do tshuva mehava, and the past avera becomes a mitzvah. Why don't you do it? You didn't do it. You messed it up again. You are not under the influence of yesterday's yetzer. That was yesterday's push. Today you're free of that. What stops you not to do tshuva? Why don't you regret it to the point of doing tshuva me ahava, not from yira? Okay? That's the really the avera.
You have to do tshuva on specific averas? I mean, what if you do things in the past that maybe you, for some reason or other, you didn't do tshuva for? I don't know.
You could do tshuva now.
But if you don't have that particular act in mind, you can still do tshuva for that particular...
Therefore, it's good to have the particular act in mind, because then you're particularly converting that as an intermit. So it could be also done in general term. You always have to be in an act of a Ahavas Hashem, to bubble to Ahavas Hashem continuously, and automatically be detached from the yesterdays, and always be under the feeling, I messed up the past, and therefore I'm committed to do this and this and this. So you could have it in general, in particular. When you have it in particular, mind in particular, you could have it in a general situation. I said, Shad, this is on David HaMelech. David HaMelech, Kodesh Baruch Hu forced him to do that away. The Gemara says, Misha Emel, David, Shnaim Loi Hoi Roim Lo Oisem Maisa. Two acts of Averis was done, but they were not appropriate to do it. A Cheta Yochit Cheta Ram, David HaMelech with Bathsheba, it wasn't to David HaMelech's level to do what he did. He was actually forced to do it. And the Israel, when they made the Egelos of the golden calf, they were not in a position to make a golden calf. Stupidity. 40 days after Matan Torah, they go making golden calf. Elo Kodesh Baruch Hu brought him in, forced him into a situation. Why? Elo Rois, to teach us what tshuva is, that we could do tshuva, rabim, and yochid on the biggest sin, the most unforgivable sins, we could do tshuva. Well, not only was it a tshuva, we could do tshuva mehava. So David the Melech was a very poor man in this sense. He only had one little sin. And the Gemara says, for us it wouldn't even been a sin, it was only because she was divorced and so on and so on. And he was a Melech. However, for him, for his level, it was a sin. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu made him sin? Because on that little sin, David the Melech capitalized all his life. Chotosi le'negdi tomi. The sin is always in front of me, and I always do tshuva on the sin. And every moment he does tshuva on the sin, he gets a mitzvah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu trapped him one little avera, and that little avera he capitalized with his free choice, millions of mitzvahs. But the Alvus said, David the Melech was a poor man compared to us. We are so rich. We could be instantly the richest people. You know my story with the old vision forever? No, you forgot. I'm sick and tired of telling the story over, but this purifies very well this whole concept. The old vision Sereber, the grandfather of this vision Sereber, Oiv Yisroel, passed away about 60 years ago. He was a big Jew lover. He loved every Jew. He was known. The Havas Yisroel was unbelievable. And his style of helping people was, a person came for a brocha, says, what are you doing? Something good, keeping Shabbos, keeping those. And then he negotiated with Hashem. You owe to him. The guy keeps Shabbos, you owe to him. That was his style. So once a miserable character came to him, didn't kept anything, a bum, and asked the brocha, he shouldn't be listed to the army, Romania. So they ever asked him, tell me, are you keeping Shabbos? They said, the football game goes on Shabbos, I can't keep Shabbos. Are you eating kosher? It's cheaper to trade for now. Are you keeping tefillin? No, nothing. He got negative answers on everything. And that was devastated. He's still a Jew, wanted to make him a favor, but he hasn't got anything. It's empty handed. He doesn't have anything to go to Hashem to negotiate for him. So David thinks, all of a sudden tells to this fat Jew, listen, Jew, I'm envying you, you know. So David, what is that you could envy me? So imagine, the Gemara says, anyone does tshuva me'ahava, does tshuva out of love for Hashem, instantly all his averes are converted into mitzvahs. But did you realize what potential you have? If you should decide this moment to do tshuva me'ahava, you're going to become a bigger Rebbe than I. You have more averes than I have mitzvahs. You can become instantly the big. I'm going to go for you to a blessing. Just to chew with me, have it, you fool. You know what you could do with yourself? So the guy says, hey, yeah? You know what? Wait till other year, you're going to envy me even more. So the Rebbe says, oh, that's not going to work. That's what the Mishnah says. Echter v'oshiv, ema speak me other asses chew. And that's, if you say, let me see, I have time, I'm still young. Eventually I'm going to come back, you know, eventually. Let me try this, eventually. The one says, eventually come back, ema speak him. They don't help him to do it. Now, I'm expressing what I, because it may not be the truth, it may not have to be accepted, but I have certain proof for morale, certain rise for morale, that's what the morale tries to say. It's a difficult system. Lebaisa, we know there's a stiris in Chazal, ain't dover oimid bishna tshuva. There's nothing stands on tshuva. He must say, I must speak no other as a tshuva. So, can you do tshuva? Can't you do tshuva? He must speak no other as a tshuva, and he say, as end of an omer is not true, and there's a dialogue going down about this Mishnah. So they say enochaname. So they say Kodesh Baruch Hu oizelo. Kodesh Baruch Hu is helping, but somebody says echte ve'oshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not help him. He has to do it on his own. So lemaisa v'shekach ilam olo lo oizelo lo yochol. If Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't help him, he couldn't. So lemaisa, if Hashem doesn't help him, lemaisa he cannot do tshuva. So he cannot do tshuva. But as end of an omer is not true, if he would have, but he can't. There's a lot of dialogue going on this particular thing. How do you reconcile these chazals? In the ma'aser, we know every person has bechira. Every person should be able to do tshuva. And mashma is, yes, everyone could do tshuva meir. End of it, end of it, the minimum tshuva to erase your bad things, everyone could do. Nobody is deprived. Even the one who said echte v'osho. The one who does tshuva meir and does tshuva out of fear, what's happening? He's being forgiven. He starts a new page. So at the age of 4, you become zero. How old are you? 6 months, a year, okay, you're forgiven. It's erased, but you wasted 40 years of your life. So instead of living 80 years, you only have 40 years beat you. That's tshuva meir. That tshuva everyone has. Everyone has this tshuva. End of Adam Mitzvah tshuva. Tshuva mi'ahava. Tshuva out of love, that you could regain all your past again and again and again and convert them, convert them, convert them. This is a gift. This is a gift which Hashem gives you. This is the machine which He gives you. Everyone, you push the button, you're doubling your life. That's a gift. So says the Mishnah, the one who sins because he was compelled to sin, he was under the influence of the Yetzer Hara, and impulsively sinned, not with the calculation. So Hashem says, why did I made you to sin impulsively? Because I'm giving you the potential after that to cure it, to convert them into the mitzvah. But if you go and sin with the calculation, let me sin, have time to do tshuva,
no,
it's not impulsive. No, there's no point giving you the gift. The whole reason I compulsive you to give you the chet, in order you should be able to tshuva, capitalize on it. But when you do chet calculatingly, why should I give you this device? So the tshuva may have a must speaking beyond the last tshuva that you should return this activity that I'm not giving you. You could do tshuva miyira on that. Therefore, unfortunately, when we are making calculated chets, those are becoming empty spots in our lives. Even when we did tshuva, it's not a chet, you're not punishing, but it's going to be an empty spot. Yes, you lived 80 years, out of the 80 years, you're going to have certain acts unaccountable. It's not an aver, it's not an mitzvah. You raised it with your tshuva in Yom Kippur and so on. But the speaking beyond the eyes of tshuva that you could convert them into a mitzvah, I'm sorry, that's not. And I think this is emes. I can't say definitely, because you need a godel, but mashma from the biurim of moral, this, it's very logical also too. It beautifully fits in logic too, because now we understand the system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could understand why we are choitim, and tzarek v'shiyasu tove lo yechtu, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu compels us to sin, conversion compels us to fail, in order to give us the opportunity that we should become self-creators, self-rebuilders. He gives us this beautiful gift. Just because Baruch Hu, today I'm saying, in today's generation, it's a recycling generation. Everything is recycled. Everything is recycled, yes? An entire life is a recycling life. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us so much garbage, throws us so much garbage, and we help us, and we grew up in garbage. We grew up in chet, v'chet yamas ni'imi. Because later on, but at the same time, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the raw material, the garbage, which is the chet. At the same time, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding, and a lot of devotion, and a lot of love. There's a lot of excessive love in today's generation, which was never before. And everyone today is frum and learns, he has a love affair with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today is not a fear affair. Nobody's afraid of today. Not of Gehenna. We are not afraid. It's not a world of fear. Today is a world of Ahava. So Hashem throws in these ingredients in this generation. First, you must fail, and you sin. You make the worst sins, the worst chatoim, and everything. And then you take the man, and say, L'chayra, the man is L'chayra innocent. What do you want from this guy? Who taught him? Who teached him? Look what he's trapped in. Look what this world. The world is crushing him from all the ants, and he's so weak. And so you could imagine, you could justify, listen, you could excuse every bum, every locale. He could justify, not just if he could excuse him. He's helped, totally helpless. Who did it? The circumstance. Who does the second? Kodesh Baruch Hu. At the same time, Kodesh Baruch Hu sends in the third, the other potential, the love, the dedication, and the tshuva possibility, and the givenness. So when a person does tshuva, he does tshuva only with Ahava, only because of love of Hashem. So all of a sudden, you see, Hashem gave us the materials, the raw material, which is the chet. And the machine which makes producer with raw material is the tshuva mehava. It's me, up to me, to make the final beautiful evaluation. Do I want it or not? It's my bechira. And therefore, this production of this generation is the highest recycling generation, that we take all the most thickest grobe averis which we have, and eventually we're going to do tshuva. That's Mashiach. We become instant Baal Tshuvas, and we come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu with all those deeds, Misak and all those deeds. Sheva Yipol Tzadik becomes 7 times the Tzadik failed. The right person, the right person, he fails and he can't get up. But eventually he's come, eventually he's getting up. And when he's getting up, he regains everything. And we're not only recycling for ourselves, even for the past generations too. So therefore this generation is the most beautiful, crucial generation, and the most productive generation. Every person could be the most productive.
For the past generations?
Even for the past. Because we are really an assembler. We are an extension of the past.
So the tshuva that we do affects the
100% affects everyone back. Bro mezaka abba. Bro mezaka abba. Child is mezaka father. Bro mezaka abba. You should know, the guy does tshuva in this world, his parents, his grandparents, becomes improved in their situation like that. Because we work in this assembly line. Listen, look here. What is an assembly line? Take an assembly line, take a car. A car is being produced in a year's time, goes to an assembly line, and everyone is a little act, okay? Now, it comes the final guy, the ignition guy, the final touch up, and he messes up. He messed up only the ignition, he messed up the whole work. The guy, a year ago, put in the engine, he yells at him, listen, I've worked there for nothing. The car is not producing anything, it's not worth anything if you don't do your end. However, if you do a good job and you make a better end, the better end you make, a smoother end you make, all the previous investors are more valuable because, you know, you improve their product. Yiddishkeit is one product. We deliver one act of Kodesh Baruch Hu. L'saka in oyle b'malchus shada. We cure the world. We are partners in this creation. The creation started off with tov v'vov v'choshech, and we make from it the olam atikin, a completed world. That's Melech HaMashiach. That's the finished product. It started off with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu made the first investment. It started, and in every Jew is a link, a crucial link, a crucial part, that without him the whole system doesn't work. You know, that's the greatness of a Jew. I little nothing. I believe if I'm missing out and I'm goofing, Moshe Rabbeinu is affected. I'm affecting Moshe Rabbeinu. I am. Because he did the major thing, he did the engine, but he needs my little bolt in that ignition. If that doesn't turn, he's worthless. He needs me as much as I need him. That's the Esrog in the Rova. The Esrog in the Tzad in the Rova is nothing, the bum. But just like the Rova needs the Esrog needs the Rova just as well. The Esrog, he cannot be a Tzimitzis Esrog without having this willow leaf, which is nothing. I'm the willow leaf, and he's the Esrog, but he needs me, just like as I need him. The key needs the engine needs the key just as well. And this is what you have to believe, that and this generation has the final, B'ez HaMashiach generation has the final touch-up. If we mess up everyone. If you cure, if your little guy comes forward and you do your job, you regain yourself, you give rebirth to yourself by doing tshuva mahavi, coming back all hearted with love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only that you gave yourself back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you have your input in the world. You improved all the generation past, which is you're an extension of them, and you pass it on to your children and completing the world. That's when a person understands the greatness of his role in life. He, all of a sudden, he could literally understand what Chazal says, Lama nivra ode mechidi, chayv ode v'loyme b'shvili nivra oylem. But as I said, the whole world stands on me. I am the world, and the world is me, and the whole world is depending on me. I'm the Adam Rishon. There's supposed to be no people on the world, never was, and I'm here, I'm delivering a product for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he intended to create the world. That's what a person has to believe, and he can believe. That's what people, we could deliver this to, because this is the MS, this is the reality. I so far fetched from our fantasies, what do you want? The table should understand this lecture? Could this table understand this lecture? Not even the tape recorder who is taping it doesn't understand the lecture, just right? As much this table cannot understand the lecture, even less can I understand what Hashem is doing. However, I'm taking it to face value what the Torah Chaim, Torah Hashem, Torah MS tells me. It tells, this is what we live and this is what we do. This is the plan, this is the design, this is your beautiful potential which you have, this is what you have to do. And now, why should I accept this? You fool, why shouldn't you accept it? What's the alternative? To live a life of vacuum with nothing to do. At least this is beautiful. You live a productive life. And you're doing, you believe in the same thing which was believed 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Beside the point that I could prove the Torah is Emes. Beside the point that I could prove the Torah was written by the Divinity, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the codes, with all the things. But I don't even need it. Even nothing could be proven. It's only a beautiful theory. It's worthwhile for me to live this theory because it proves that nicer my life. My life becomes much more meaningful. Beside that, if I don't want to live by theories, I want to live by something about facts. Listen, I could prove today, black and white, with no question scientifically, I could prove Torah is Emes. Torah is written by divinity. Now, if this Torah is written by divinity, and this Torah says this theory, why don't you accept it now? Beside the fact it's beautiful, I mean, what could be more beautiful than tell a person, you live every moment, you regain your past every moment, you reproduce every moment of your life. And therefore, we understand very well why the Torah, and that's the only area where we have Bechira. Real free choice, because Hashem says, I gave you Torah, and I also gave you everything, and I also gave you tshuva. And you have to do tshuva. To do tshuva miyera, to do tshuva arafir, we really have no Bechira, we have to do it. Because we need them. Kopalem harki gigas, kurboku forstanas Torah. I have to keep Shabbos, regardless if I want or not. Of course, you have the choice not to keep Shabbos, you have a choice to, if you want to live, You have a choice to jump off the Empire State Building, but you really don't have. As long as you want to live, you can jump off. Also, it's great, open, you can still jump. Same thing Shabbos. Shabbos is jumping off the Empire State Building. So this is not free choice. Where is real free choice? Tshuva Mehava. Hashem said, that you don't have to do. That's I'm giving you total freedom. If you want to do it, go ahead and do it. Give back to yourself. This is your life getting cured.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני l strudel k kolhlashon@kolhl.com.